Hey guys, are you looking for a sports book that you can trust? Well, look no further than mybookie.ag, where you can get a 50% match on your initial deposit of up to $1,000 when you use promo code DFSArmy. As a bonus, when you use promo code DFSArmy, you also get a free month of DFSArmy VIP and DFSArmy Beat the Bookie membership. That's a $100 combined value. So we'll help you with your daily fantasy sports, and we'll help you with your handicapping free when you sign up for mybookie.ag using promo code DFSArmy.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome to the Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. This week we'll be headed to Dublin, Ohio, the hometown of Jack Nicklaus, for Jack's tournament, the Memorial Tournament. It features a strong field with the likes of Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Matt Kuchar, Jason Day. The best of the best show up here year after year. It's usually one of the stronger fields of the non-major events, and the course is really unique in itself. Before we dive into the course here at Muirfield Village, I've got to remind you guys that at DFSArmy.com, you can check out all of our daily fantasy sports offerings for every daily fantasy sport, including the Domination Station Lineup Optimizer, and the Research Station, which goes through all the statistics you could ever need, which I will be referencing throughout this podcast, and you can gain access to that, along with the coaching channels, and the VIP articles, and again, the coverage for a wide variety of sports, all included in one package, DFSArmy.com, and remember on sign up to use promo code TACO to get you a lifetime 20% off. That's promo code TACO. So DFSArmy.com, check us out if you like what you hear, and you'll be able to gain access to the full version of this pod, where we go deep into the player pool and find all the diamonds that are in the rough for this week. So DFSArmy.com, promo code TACO. Let's get on with this week. Muirfield Village is a 7,400-yard par 72, and again, designed by Jack Nicklaus. And he has a certain way that he likes to design his golf courses. You see some wider fairways than usual. And you'd think that that would lead to people bombing it out, but oftentimes it's not really the case. Because the rough is very, very, very long. They keep it cut very long. It's very penal if you get out into the fairways here. And then the real challenge comes from your second shot, the approach shots. It's going to be really important this week. Most pros consider this a second shot course. And you will need a good around the green game. But putting, you know, we can kind of throw that out the window a little bit this week. We don't see putting coming in like we usually do at an event like this, just because the greens are lightning fast. They're 13.5 on the stint meter. Going back a few years, you know, that is pretty much the fastest greens that these guys have seen in a while. It's just really fast out there. The conditions of the course are really soft, both with the fairways and the greens. And that could apply a little extra this week, as we have a lot of rain in the forecast between now and Thursday. And even on Thursday and into Friday, it looks like we're going to have a lot of rain, potentially some delays. So definitely make sure to keep that in mind. And with the rains, we like to maybe target the distance guys a little bit more. They tend to just get a slight advantage when there's not a lot of roll on these longer fairways, especially on the long par fours. We have six of those on this course, The par fives were all shorter, all easier. It's something that Jack Nicklaus liked to put in his courses. He really likes the risk reward of the second shot on the par fives. So the par fives are shorter in length, but the longer par fours, gonna need a little distance there. And even on those par fives, you know, longer scorers just do better on par fives. And there are four of them to attack here. They're scorable, so you know, looking at the longer drivers here, I know you need accuracy to keep out of the fairway or out of the rough. You want to keep it on the fairway, but really just overall off the tee game, something I'm looking for this week. But approach definitely is number one there, and you know, the people who have a good approach game, they're also beneficiaries of the wet and soft conditions, because you can really take aggressive pin-seeking shots, and you're not going to get punished for that as much. You know, it is a really slopey course with a lot of elevation changes, and one of the major factors of this course are the winding creeks that go alongside the fairways. You've got some approaches into water. You know, almost half of the holes on this course have approach shots into water, over water, or with water in play somewhere. And those winding creeks, what they really do is they punish errant shots, you know, shots that are really bad. You know, they usually won't come into play. Some of them do cross the fairway, and you'll have to manage those. Maybe the, you know, the super long hitters might have to worry about that, but oftentimes they're not really in the way. But, you know, some of these holes, the fairways just, you know, they're pretty wide, but with how the second shots are set up, sometimes, you know, Jack will want you to shoot towards the side of a fairway that's got that creek on it. You know, he really likes the risk-reward aspect of that, because if you can hit a nice shot onto, you know, the left or right side of the fairway, that will really benefit you with the approach angles on the second shot of some of these holes. And it's kind of a consistent theme that we have here, so you know, gonna probably have some bigger numbers. You know, this course does not like to give up pars. It gives up plenty of birdies. It plays under par usually, sometimes as low as, you know, people averaging 71 at a par 72. But there are also double bogeys to be had, so it kind of goes both ways this week. Just not a course that does a lot of parring. People do hit the fairways here quite a lot, 67% of the time. It's top 15 on tour, and you know, that's just because they're so wide, and it's just so important to stay out of that rough. But the greens regulation percentage is 64, a few percentage points under tour average. These are very difficult shots. You know, some of them have not only water but sand protecting them, and of course the elevation changes, the undulation. It can make some shots very difficult. You've got some greenside areas that are just really hilly and slopey that could cause issue with these guys, depending on the pin placement. Looking at the historical data, something I added not too long ago, on the research station just shows, you know, where guys ranked at on tour in a given year. You know, it goes back to 2010 with and shows all the results that people have gotten at this course before, but it also shows where they ranked, you know, in that season in different stats. And if you look at, you know, guys who have done really well here going in, you know, you see a lot of guys that are top 20 in approach. You know, most of the winners come in here top 20 in approach. The only one that didn't really was David Lingmuth. And his win was kind of a real random one, just kind of out of nowhere. And even though the field can be really strong, you know, we're not, that's not really a surprising thing. You know, oftentimes, you know, guys like William McGirt have won here. We saw Steve Stricker win here. So, you know, that, you know, distance is not important because McGirt and Stricker just both very, very short off the tee. And Matt Kuchar also, we've seen, win here, you know, mostly through the approach game. You know, looking at the you look at the correlation just between different stats and finishes here, or you can go by, you know, guys that are top 25 in tour in certain stats or top 50 or whatever, and just see how that affects their average finish. You know, here at this course, the top 25 in strokes gained approach, they have an average finish of about 42nd. If they're 151st or worse, you know, bottom five on tour, their average finish is 72nd. You know, that's one of the biggest differentials that we see between the stats here. You know, you don't see a lot of difference when it comes to things like strokes gained putting. You know, the top 25, they come in about 49th place on average, but the bottom 25 on tour, 57th place on average. Not that big of a difference, really, but as far as most stats are concerned here, just looking at stats like strokes gained and all, it seems like strokes gained approach matters pretty much the most, but strokes gained off the tee also coming in as well. And again, pretty much like I said earlier, for short game, you're only going to want to really look at strokes gained around the green coming in. Putting, not very important here. Maybe bent grass putting. It seemed to have made, you know, a difference for some guys. You look at Jordan Spieth, who's putting like crazy now, or back in Texas in the Midwest. But really, you're going to want to really target those ball strikers, just really just tee to green overall those guys and not worry about putting. Maybe guys who've gotten it done through putting recently, like a Jordan Spieth or like a Sung Kang, maybe it's time to look in a different direction there. But you know, honestly, you know, course history seems to matter here. I mean, we've got some guys that are just crazy consistent year to year with good finishes, and we've also got some guys that you know, just continually do bad at this track. So, course history just a little bit more important than usual. We still try not to overrate that too much. Something I do want to focus on is good form coming in. That's definitely something you want to see from your guys at this track. And as far as, you know, the different hole lengths go, looking at the short par 5 scoring, that's going to be huge here. And the long par 4 scoring as well. So, you know, the guys that show up big time here, of course, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, they show up in those exact spots and are good fantasy scorers from there. And also, you know, with the par 3s, we're looking at the long ones. Most of them are around the 200-yard range, and they play even a little bit longer, just because you've really gotta hit it in very exact spots. Some of them are over water, so you really just want to tread water when you're at these par 3s, but all the fantasy scoring will be done at the long par 4, and of course the short par 5 scoring. That's where you're going to get the bulk of it. So that's what we're looking for this week. You know, we've got a lot of really good golfers to choose from, so let's start at the very top of this field as we go along and break the field down for you here, starting off with Rory McIlroy, a very common top price golfer that we see coming in, who would have only been rivaled by, like, you know, Brooks Koepka or Dustin Johnson at this point, and both of them are taking the week off. But Rory, just continuing some incredible play, top 10s at both Wells Fargo and the PGA Championship, and he's also got a few top 10s in a row at this tournament. Over the last few years, he's played, finishing 4th in 2016, 18, and 8th in 2018. You know, again, like I had mentioned earlier, he's second in both long par 4 and short par 5 scoring. So it's pretty much him and Justin Thomas that, you know, absolutely destroyed it. Not only birdies or betters gained, but fantasy points gained and the projected fantasy point scoring for this course. Both of them just stick out like a sore thumb. And with Justin Thomas coming in from injury, you know, kind of makes Rory McIlroy the more bona fide play of the bunch. I like him considerably more than the rest of the studs up top here. You know, they've all kind of faltered a little bit recently. You know, Tiger coming off the miscut at the PGA. Justin Rose just having some inconsistent finishes, you know, missing the cut at the Masters. And Ricky Fowler, you know, pretty much chalk bombing everybody last week, being severely high owned and then missing the cut tragically at the Charles Schwab tournament, or, you know, the Fort Worth tournament, whatever you call it. So Rory McIlroy, you know, the only guy under 10-1 in the odds books, currently around 7-1, 8-1. you know, just kind of a no-nonsense, no-brainer play. Doesn't matter how you cut it up. He's just been really solid at everything. Just mediocre at putting. And again, you know, if you're going to drop any of your strokes gain, that's going to be it this week. You know, around the green, there's some concerns recently, but usually he's fine in that regard. And his off-the-tee and approach games, just been super solid. Off strokes gain off the tee, that's what he's done his entire career. And the irons have really been clicking for him recently. It's just gotten better and better as the season's gone along. His driving accuracy is just decent enough to where, you know, you don't have to worry about it here. And, of course, his length is, you know, he's easily the longest of any of the studs by almost over 10 yards, you know, to everyone else. He's hitting at 314, adjusted to the field over the last several events. You know, he always crushes it. Gains 5 birdies to the field on average. Recently has a 76% green irregulation percentage, and that is another stat that I'm attacking this week. We've seen a lot of correlation between greens irregulation scoring and just doing well at this tournament, and you know, it makes sense with how it is. So Rory McIlroy, kind of a no-nonsense play, just cost a lot. $12,000 on FanDuel and $11,500 on DraftKings. Tiger's kind of, you know, laughably overpriced like he always is, but really not too many plays, 10K or above, that people are going to take, you know, very seriously, since the best of the best didn't really show up, and Thomas is coming in off injury. So Rory McIlroy, kind of the no-nonsense play. Not sure if you can get there in cash, but I would try to. I know that last week, the studs and duds approach just did not work. All the studs just got eviscerated. Maybe people are scared of that and thinking, oh my gosh, no one's safe. But really, if anyone is safe, it's Rory McIlroy. And he's pretty much finished top 10 about every tournament he's played. 67% of the time over the last year, he's finished in the top 10% of fields. That's about 10% better than anyone else. You know, better than Justin Rose, better than Patrick Cantlay, who's been insanely consistent with the top 10s. So Rory McIlroy, you know, he's looking like the safest play. If you want to fade him, you know, he's expensive as could be. That's never a problem to fade somebody like that. But he would be my pick for cash games. And just, you know, when in doubt, if you get a lot of money to spend, Rory McIlroy, just so safe. Gains tons of fantasy points. On average, in any given event, he gets 32 more fantasy points than an average player. It's just insane. So Rory McIlroy, just a no-brainer sort of play this week. And then we move right on down to Tiger Woods here. He actually is the second favorite, so he's not terribly overpriced, but 11-2, 11-7 on FanDuel. I know he's just coming off of winning the Masters, but that miscut at the PGA Championship, not the greatest stuff we've seen from Tiger. You know, gain strokes approach in that first round, but then kind of fell apart for him in the second. We saw him just losing, you know, a lot of strokes putting. So, you know, something he can definitely overcome. It's not like he's a better or worse putter on bent grass or anything, but you know, his putter's been pretty darn inconsistent. It's something I will say, but you know, over the last year, we've seen him play 5 events at par 72 courses. He's averaging an 88% field rank. It's second only to Jason Day, who really sticks out in that regard for one reason or another. But, you know, this is where Tiger comes out to play, I think. You look at the key ranges here. He's 16th in long par 4 scoring, 47th in short par 5 scoring. He does do a lot better at long par 5 scoring, where he's top 20. But, you know, there are 3 medium-length par 4 courses, par 4 holes on the course. Not as many as you usually see, like we saw, I think, 6 of them last week. But that's where he's number 1 the entire field at, scoring on. So, you know, I don't think he actually should be the second favorite, or the second most expensive. You know, a lot of that's just because his name is Tiger Woods. I'd probably put Justin Rose there, but, you know, again, people have been kind of off Rose, and you know, the odds books obviously are just going to price the crap out of Tiger after they raked him across the coals, and he can't even sit on FanDuel. Tiger's very expensive there. So he really costs them over there. And people are going to pay for that, but it's, you know, the ownership's not going to get extreme. As far as playing Tiger, I mean, you can. He won here in 2012. I would never say no to playing Tiger anywhere for any price. He's Tiger Woods. That's kind of been my my take on the guy. I really try not to even interject myself. I'm, you know, obviously pulling for the guy big time. It was awesome to see him win at the Masters. You can play him, you can fade him. Not somebody I really would suggest you go either way on, because, you know, if anyone can strike out of nowhere, you know it's him. He just did, and he's honestly been pretty consistent over the last year, making 85% of his cuts. Just, I don't think he deserves to be this high priced, because, you know, the resume is pretty similar to Justin Rose's, and even guys like Justin Thomas. You know, I think if Justin Thomas was full health, I'd think he'd come in more expensive than Tiger, or at least he should. And even guys like Cantlay or Fowler, they even have a case at this point with some good play from them and awesome results here at this course recently. You know, since winning in 2012, yeah, I know he struggled with injury throughout this this phase, but he had a really good 2013 season, but finished T65 here. And then 2015, I know that was kind of a throwaway, but he had made the cut and then just forgot how to golf over the weekend. Just finished last by far. If there was an MDF, he would have been in it. And then last year, T23 here, the only person in, well, really the only person that cost five digits on DraftKings that didn't finish in the top 10 here last year. I finished T23, but still, again, Tiger, if you want to play him, play him. If not, don't. I don't really have one pull one way or another. GPP is where I would use him now. Because in cash, why would you not just pay, you know, a few hundred, $300 more on either side for Rory McIlroy? That doesn't make too much sense to me. And, you know, if I'm going to get lots of Rory, like I kind of plan to this week, Tiger's just kind of got to go by the wayside. Not really anything against him. That's just kind of how I want to go about this week. So on to the Justin Rose play. It hit $10,800, 11-5 on FanDuel. Four out of the last five times he's teed it up here, he's come in with the top 10. And he won here in 2010. Outside of that, you know, in 2011, 2014, missed the cut right on the dot. You know, finishing T74, T77. Not too big of a deal, I think. You know, I think 2014, I think that was when he started dealing with his back. I think that was kind of a throwaway season for him. So it was actually nice to see him rebound in 2015 with the runner-up there, because, yeah, that was when he was getting off of his big back issues. So kind of like Tiger Woods in 2015. So yeah, Justin Rose, he ranks 5th in projected round score, but 23rd in projected fantasy scoring. You know, I've kind of noticed his fantasy scoring kind of dipping off a little bit. Interesting thing, over the last few months, he's actually lost birdies to the field. It's been really about, you know, parring and just finishing okay. We saw, like, the Masters, and even last week at Charles Schwab, just some really inconsistent play from Mr. Justin Rose. He did gain a ton of strokes in the final round last week, gained 2.5 strokes approach, but before that he had lost strokes in 5 straight rounds. So, you know, a bit of a room for concern with Justin Rose. I think his ownership kind of lowers because of this. I know he's really good course history, but people have just kind of been off him. You know, he's came in consistently under the projections as far as ownership is concerned. And it is pretty weird if you consider his medium and long-term form. It's about as good as anyone else's out there. He makes 88% of his cuts. It's just, honestly, the fantasy scoring hasn't really been there. He is somebody that putts really well in bent grass greens and has been putting pretty decently lately. But, you know, it's not going to be too huge of a factor here. Generally leaning towards a fade of Justin Rose, which is Not something I do often, let me tell you that. Ricky Fowler at $10,600. Another guy who's finished top 10 in his last two times playing. And then, you know, before that, some really bad performances. 88th, 72nd, 77th, going back to 2014. But also runner-up finish in 2010. Kind of a strange course history for him there. Strange miscut last week. He was the chalk. Everybody, you know, had him pegged as a free play, pretty much. Very cheap. Had made all of his cuts coming in on the year. But yeah, he blew up. And, you know, at a place where you'd think that he would do fine, he just fell apart. And it's hard to say what ownership would be like with him. I do expect a mass exodus. But I don't know if you can attack him because he's Ricky Fowler. He was over 30% owned last week. He'll hold on to some sort of ownership, you know. You've got the fact that he's just a popular and well-liked golfer going for him. But you've also got to think that, you know, a lot of people might think, hey, let's get back on Ricky here. You know, he was just on his, you know, incredible made cut streak and, you know, a missed cut might be the perfect time to hop on him when everyone else hops off. And I think people will start to convince themselves to do that because I think a lot of people are out there projecting Patrick Cantlay to be the chalk for very good reasons. The dude's a top 10 machine. So, you know, people might start to, you know, get contrarian to the point where, you know, going from Cantlay to Fowler be a sharp little move. I just think the ownership kind of drifts that way as we get closer to lock. We've actually seen his odds drift just by 1% in the right direction. But still, Cantlay will still be a way more popular play than him. You know, coming at 14-1 odds compared to Fowler's 17-1 odds for $400 more. But yeah, Fowler, he does rank third in projected round score. And fourth in projected DraftKings scoring points, which, you know, compared to Cantlay, he ranks 21st in projected DraftKings scoring points, 8th in projected round score. So, you know, one of a few reasons to get on him. I know that Fowler does a lot through his putter. He's pretty much one of the best putters on tour. But recently, that's actually kind of changed. He's gaining more strokes around the green. Approach game is still pretty mediocre, just gains about a half stroke per round. Same with the off the tee stuff. That's not too great, but you're really just playing him for his quote unquote consistency, which isn't actually very consistent. You know, very consistent finishes, but you know, does things like double bogey a lot, and you know, even, you know, most of his stats, like his approach and around the green stats, are kind of wildly inconsistent. Lots of up and down action there. But you can usually put it together, usually. Last week wasn't the case, but not even the greatest finish at the PGA Championship either, but he's not too far removed from some top 10s at the Masters, the Wells Fargo Championship, runner-up at Honda, and the win, of course, at Waste Management. You know, not a bad start to the season, just a bad week last week. And I even heard a stat where when he had lost, you know, a bunch of strokes, approach, you know, he's only, you know, he rarely ever loses strokes approach, but when he does, the following events usually are pretty good for him. So I don't really know with Fowler. I'm probably going to leave him alone and just play Cantlay because I'm a little chalk loving little man, but really I'm really just a huge Cantlay supporter. And you know, I'm about to talk about him here, but, you know, not getting too different for the field with going Ricky here, but I do see a case for it if you're somebody who doesn't like playing the chalky guys, which honestly is a smarter strategy, probably a smarter person than me, just being honest. But you know, I like playing my guys, and we're gonna finish off the free section of this podcast talking about one of my main guys, Patrick Cantlay. Been all over this dude since coming back off injury a few years ago. He's only had a handful of miscuts at really forgivable tournaments, you know, the Masters, most recently the Players. Missed the cut there, which I would probably consider my I'd probably consider Sawgrass to be my number one most forgivable place to miss a cut at. We also saw him miss the cut at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines, which is like the longest course on tour. You know, that was kind of a bit of a crazy week. But outside of that, we've seen him, you know, top 10 like crazy. I'd said the stat earlier, 58% of the time he's finishing in the top 10% of fields, which is insane. That's the same as Justin Rose over the last year, to put things in perspective. It's hard to even bunch Rose with Cantlay together, you know, as far as overall pedigree, but you got to get to that point with him. I mean, he's just been a top 10 machine, finishing third at the PGA Championship. And even before that, the RBC Heritage finished third, the Masters top 10. And at this course last year, he finished fourth after debuting with a made cut and a T35 the year before. Super strong play, very good work off the tee and approach. Over the last 25 rounds, he's gained at least 0.3 strokes in every single category. At least 0.5 strokes in all but around the green. Just really solid work all around. Good all-around game. You know, he maybe struggled with strokes gained around the green stuff last year, but this year, over the last 50 rounds, he's gained, you know, just the slightest amount of strokes around the green, and recently it's gotten even better, to where he's gaining around a quarter stroke. Had mentioned how he does struggle a little bit with fantasy scoring, but you know, if you're playing a cash game, especially on FanDuel, we're at 11K. He's at a nice little value, being cheaper than Spieth, which he isn't on DraftKings. And also cheaper than, like, Justin Thomas, Jason Day, and Xander Schauffele, who's just crazy overpriced there. But yeah, Cantlay, really strong play on DraftKings and FanDuel. You know, the obvious odds to pricing, value, going to be fairly chalky as well. Perhaps one of the highest owned players, honestly. It's kind of getting to that point, but I don't think he'll be the highest. I think he'll be in the top four, but I don't think he'll be in the top three. I think he'll be about the fourth highest owned. That's what we have him pegged for right now. Just, you've got some guys deeper down the field who are just some really strong plays, and if you want to hear about them, sorry to do this to you, but you've got to join DFSArmy.com, get the deep dive into the entire field, where I'll be going through this entire field, picking all the diamonds in the rough, you know, the 9, 8, 7, and 6K range. So get access to that, DFSArmy.com. Use promo code TACO on sign up. You get access to all the different daily fantasy sports. So throughout your day, you know, you get golf ready. You know, on the weekends you play whatever is your fancy. You know, we even do like arena football, as crazy as that sounds. I love doing, you know, NASCAR. NASCAR has been amazing for us on the weekends. You get a lot of big wins over there. You know, NBA, MLB, we cover it all. So DFSArmy.com, promo code TACO for you VIP members. And we'll be right back with a full breakdown of this field. And for everyone else, I'll see you later.